Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial service family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 242, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order with my family in tow. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the entire Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we're reading Joshua chapter 10. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Fill us, those of us who are saved, with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Grant us your energy, your might, and your strength to read your holy word with meaning and understanding. And Lord, set us up by your grace to encourage others and to teach others your holy word in a discipleship way, and to preach and proclaim your holy gospel for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty." The Word of God, the Holy Bible, at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all of the people of war with him, and all of the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, In the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, "Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, "Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings." And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And afterward Joshua smote them, and slew them, and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all of the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him unto Libna, and fought against Libna. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof, into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all of the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all of the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all of the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libna, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for reminding us and showing us that all power is in your hands, and that you will fight for us if we are obedient to you. Grant us your grace and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to be obedient to you and to your holy word, and help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that you have the power to defeat our enemies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, and memorial service family members, we thank God for you. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book, Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 480. The passage of Holy Scripture that the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, chose for our devotional today is Psalm 31:5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. These words have been frequently used by holy men in their hour of departure. We may profitably consider them this on this day. The object of the faithful man's solicitude in life and death is not his body or his estate, but his spirit. This is his choice, treasure. If this be safe, all is well. What is this mortal state compared with the soul? The believer commits his soul to the hand of his God. It came from him. It is his own. He has aforetime sustained it. He is able to keep it, and it is most fit that he should receive it. All things are safe in Jehovah's hands. What we entrust to the Lord will be secure, both now and in that day of days towards which we are hastening. It is peaceful living and glorious dying to repose in the care of heaven, yea, in the care of God Almighty and Jesus Christ his Son. At all times we should commit our all to Jesus' faithful hand. Then, though life may hang on a thread, and adversities may multiply as the sands of the sea, our soul shall dwell at ease and delight itself in quiet resting places. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Redemption is a solid basis for confidence. David had not known Calvary as we have done, but temporal redemption cheered him, and shall not eternal redemption yet more sweetly console us? Past deliverances are strong pleas for present assistance. What the Lord has done, he will do again, for he changes not. He is faithful to his promises and gracious to his saints. He will not turn away from his people. Though thou slay me, I will trust, praise thee even from the dust, prove and tell it as I prove thine unutterable love. Thou mayest chasten and correct, but thou never canst neglect, since the ransom price is paid, on thy love my hope is stayed. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And thank you, Lord, for using your servant, the anointed one, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He being dead, yet speaketh and blesses our hearts in this sin-cursed world. It is good to hear from another human being closer to our time than even Paul, to be a blessing in such a way, while by your grace and by your might and power, while we are on this journey as he was on years ago. We give you the glory, praise, and honor, for all of it is due your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, we continue to read the family verses. Today, God speaks to the husband and the wife in one verse, Ephesians 5:33. This is God wrapping up his words to the husband and the wife and the husband. And it seems to say that God is very, very interested in what goes on in your marriage and in your family, and he's very much a part. And he is wrapping this up in such a way that he is letting the husband and the wife know, I want you to do this. I want you to obey my commandments. I want you to stay together and make a success of your marriage and your family that I have blessed you with. And in doing so, he reminded us it is a glorious picture of his son, Jesus Christ, being the head of the church, the bride of Christ. God chose this most important relationship to mirror marriage, the first institution that he created for our good. And by the way, much good has come out of family life. I believe that once people really take a look at it and take inventory and look back on history, they will find that outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the family has done a lot, and more than what people think. Individual families have done a lot to carry on the work of the Lord and to do great things in the earth. So family is important, and a family that obeys the word of God can do great things and influence thousands of people. And this has happened and is happening with a few families even today. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so with the God kind of love, divine love, a husband is to love his wife with God's grace and God's help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and to love his wife as himself. And this ought to be a natural affection. This ought not to be hard. And again, I repeat, make sure you do not, gentlemen, get a false picture of what love is. Love is not necessarily opening the door for your wife, opening the car door, jumping out of the car like a butler to go open the door, or a limousine driver to go open the door for your wife. You can do that if you want to. It may show some love for her or whatever in your mind, but that's not necessarily love, or a show of love. That's a man-made thing that's not in the Bible. If you want to do that, do that, but don't condemn others who don't do that. Buying some flowers for your wife may show some love towards your wife, but that's not in the Bible either. So you need to understand, true love, the God kind of love, is more about what Jesus Christ has done for us, God's mercy, love, and grace towards us, and honoring God for the blessings he has bestowed upon us, including the marriage and the family. And it is about ultimately obedience to God and to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is first and foremost, and your job, sir, is to love your wife in that way as well, because therein lies the real blessings, the deep blessings, the blessings that will count for today and for tomorrow. And so loving your wife is also keeping her in check. and making sure that she is conforming to what the Lord wants. That is love too. It's not just buying gifts, as you have been told by the sweet evangelicals. It's not just going to the store to get some flowers and all of that. If that's what you want to do, that's your business. You do that. But what God is concerned about is loving your wife in such a way, in His way and with His love, that is pure and that is loving her the way you love yourself and the way God loves you. Your love should mirror God's love towards you. Jesus' love for His bride. And I heard Jesus say that those I love, I rebuke and chasten. All I'm saying is there's not enough of that in families today. And what happens is these families unravel because there's not enough of that kind of love. See, we got this little ushy, let your wife have your way, do whatever she wants. Love, that's not love, necessarily. It's not love. And you on pins and needles, and you can't say anything because she's going to bite your head off. That's not love. That's not love. I don't know what you got going on, but that's not it. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm sorry, ladies, women. True love will look very, a whole lot, let me put it this way. True love will look different than what you think it is, or what your sweet little evangelical, Baptist, charismatic church folks have told you. Because oftentimes what they're telling you does not pan out and does not play out at their house. And that's why you hear about them in the funny papers all of a sudden. And so if you want marriage to work, if you want your marriage to work, you need to do your job as your husband and love your wife in the way that God, in the way that God wants you to, in the way that God loves you. And sometimes love will, husbands will tell your wife that, no, you don't look good in that dress. Take it off and put something else on. No, your hair looks crazy. Fix it. I am shocked and amazed at how some husbands just let their wives just wear anything and look any kind of way when they come outside. And these things ought not so to be. But I know the American way, you know, the woman can do whatever she wants. No matter how crazy she looks. And husband should not ever say anything about it. And as I said the other day, I say again, more wives need to listen to their husbands on even how they dress and how they appear before the world. Some wives ought not to come out in some of the tight, revealing clothing. And I know the husband does not want them to do so, but they're afraid to say anything, lest they get their heads bitten off. I saw some ladies the other day, who Christian women, who at one time dressed immodestly. But now, I don't know if the coronavirus plague had anything to do with it or not, but they were dressed modestly with free-flowing long dresses. These are modern women, but out of respect for God and His Word, they're dressing modestly now, and that's good. And the verse says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That means respects her husband, honors her husband, reverences her husband. And there's not much of that going on today, is it? Many women disrespect their husbands, do not honor their husbands, do not reverence their husbands. Most wives, I would venture to say, have a disdain and a soft hatred in their hearts towards the husband and his position over her. And as I said the other day in an article, with many women, their husband, and especially in the church, their husband is more like a boy, and just to serve her wants and her needs, and it is a, excuse the phrase that I get from my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., who's in heaven, is an ass backwards relationship. And the center of attention is the wife. When in the home, the center of attention should be the husband, and the center of attention for the husband, the wife, and the children ought to be the Lord. For many women, their husband is just a boy and a running joke and a dummy that they have no regard for, no reverence for, no respect for. And the church has fed this for years, and the government has fed this for years, and it has turned out very badly for families. And no one can deny that. I say that without a fear of successful contradiction. All right, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, let's pray for others, which is, for many of us, the hardest thing we do. Holy Father God, grant us all your strength, your grace, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray. And to pray for others. We pray, Lord, today for the salvation of those who are lost in our families, churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the revival of those who are saved in our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray for the healing of the sick according to your will and way and time and conditions. In our families, in this country, in our churches, and around the globe. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for all of the people who are mourning in our families, in our churches, in this country, and around the globe. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort them as only you can and draw them to yourself for salvation. And we pray for all of the families who are hurting like that, in the millions of families and individuals. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for the family and friends of Texas police officer Ricky Roberts. We pray for the family and friends of Mexico politician Rene Urez. We pray for the family and friends of Tajik resident Kubanbi Ramanova. We pray for the family and friends of Utah police officer Adam Ashworth. And we pray for the family and friends of Arkansas teacher Kim McGinn. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And now, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all people who name the name of Christ, help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. We pray, Lord, for all people who are in the government, who are in the ministry of government. Lord, from the president on down, we thank you for all of the people who are serving in our government. We pray across this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for their salvation, and we pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd cast the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives and transform them to lead, guide, and direct us in peaceful ways. Lord, please let your will be done and not ours. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all other governors and presidents and prime ministers and potentates and premiers all around the globe and all police officers and sheriffs and mayors and senators and representatives, that we may lead peaceful lives according to your word and according to your will. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would protect your people who are being persecuted in Nigeria and around the world. Deliver them as only you can. Protect them as only you can. Hear and answer their prayers. And now we pray, Lord, for some prayer requests that have come in, and we pray for thousands more that have come in down through the years as you have blessed us and given us the privilege to pray for them by name. We pray for a few by name. We pray for them, and we pray that you would hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. For you said in your word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll bless all of these people with salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision. And we pray, Lord, for Linda and Wade in Connecticut, for her prodigal husband to return to you and come home. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Marie, in New York, for the blood of Jesus to cover her life, for protection and for your favor to be over her situation, for doors to open, for resources, support, and provision to be able to pay daily costs and bills and obtain medical and dental care, for all criminal activities and actions being taken against her to be shut down. We pray for Naeem. Keep him safe as he is in full-time ministry in Pakistan. Use him for your glory, for souls to be saved and lives to be changed. We also pray for all of the people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through hearing and preaching, hearing the gospel from the preaching from this ministry all around the world. And we pray not only for these few by name, but the thousands who have trusted you as Savior down through the years. We pray for them that they would grow in the faith and stand strong in the faith. We pray for Heath, Yuan, Joseph, Rick, and Al. We pray also, Lord, we pray also for those who have recommitted their lives, even though we don't give that invitation at all. We don't even talk about that, but yet thousands have written in and told us that they have come back, want to come back to you and rededicate their lives to you from the preaching of your holy word. And we thank you for that. We pray for Andrew, Mundi, Apaya, Oki, Leaky, and Barak. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. and he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart, only you can do that, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present, and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on: I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.